ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, First Canto, Chapter 2, Text Number 19. This chapter is entitled Divinity and Divine Service. Tada Rajastamo Bhava Kama Lobadayas Chaye Cheta Etar Anavidham Stitam Satve Prasidati Tara Rajastamo Bhava Kama Lobadayas Chaye Cheta Etar Anavidham Stitam Satve Prasidati Tararajastamubhava Kamalubhadayaschaye Jeta itarna vidham Sitang satve prasidati Tararajastamubhava Kamalubhadayaschaye Jeta itarna vidham Sitam Satte Prasidati. Prasidati. Tararajastamo bhava Kamalubhadayaschaye Chita itarana vidham Itam satve prasidati Tararajastamo bhava Kamalubhadayaschaye Chita itarana vidham ne prasidati tararajastamo bhava Ladies, Tada, at that time. Raja, in the mode of passion. Tamaha, the mode of ignorance. Bhava, the situation. Kama, lust and desire. Lobha, hankering. Adaya, others. Cha, and. Ye, whatever they are. Cheta, the mind. Etai, by these. Anavidham, without being affected. Stitam, being fixed. Satve, in the mode of goodness. Prasidati, thus being fully satisfied. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. As soon as irrevocable loving service is established in the heart, the effects of nature's modes of passion and ignorance, such as lust, desire, and hankering, disappear from the heart. Then the devotee is established in goodness, and he becomes completely happy. Please repeat, as soon as irrevocable devotional service is established in the heart, the effects of nature's modes of passion and ignorance, such as lust, desire, and hankering, disappear from the heart. Then the devotee is established in goodness, and he becomes completely happy. Report. A living being in his normal constitutional position is fully satisfied in spiritual bliss. This state of existence is called Brahma-bhuta or Atmananda, or the state of self-satisfaction. This self-satisfaction is not like the satisfaction of the inactive fool. The inactive fool is in the state of foolish ignorance, whereas the self-satisfied Atmanandi is transcendental to the material state of existence. This stage of perfection is attained as soon as one is fixed in irrevocable devotional service. Devotional activity is not inactivity, but the unalloyed activity of the soul. The soul's activity becomes adulterated in contact with matter, and as such, the diseased activities are expressed in the form of lust, desire, hankering, inactivity, foolishness, and sleep. The effect of devotional service becomes manifest by complete elimination of these effects of passion and ignorance. The devotee is fixed at once in the mode of goodness, and he makes further progress to rise to the position of Vasudeva, or the state of unmixed sattva, or shuddha sattva. Only in this shuddha sattva state can one always see Krishna eye to eye by dint of pure affection for the Lord. A devotee is always in the mode of unalloyed goodness, therefore he harms no one. But the non-devotee, however educated he may be, is always harmful. A devotee is neither foolish nor passionate. The harmful, foolish, and passionate cannot be devotees of the Lord, however they may advertise themselves as devotees by outward dress. A devotee is always qualified with all the good qualities of God. Quantitatively, such qualifications may be different, but qualitatively, both the Lord and His devotees are one and the same. Om Agyani Timidanda Sagyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Minitam Jena Tasmai Sigurvema Gunguru Divachalam Pangam Nungayate Girimit Kipitamande Sigurum Timidanam Paramanande Madhavam Shri Chaitanya Ishwaram. So here, Srila Prabhupada, or the Bhagavatam here, because it's whether it's the book or the person, personality of Godhead or His devotee, as Prabhupada concludes his purport, are one. So here the Bhagavatam is giving the perfect definition of being happy. What is that common little line that Prabhupada would came out with? We are making the hippies happies. It's fact that the hippies, they're discontent with whatever, so many things, but due to association they become happies. So that is the state in this material world, that due to association with this material nature, we've all become I guess you could say we've all become hippies because we're not very happy yet. But the idea is to become happy. And here the Bhagavatam is giving the perfect definition. Because by nature, the living entity is constitutionally fully in spiritual bliss. Brahma-bhuta prasanatma asochatina kankshati. Krishna very nicely describes in Bhagavad Gita how the living being, one who becomes transcendentally situated at once realizes the supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. This is a natural sequence that as soon as one takes shelter of the process of Krishna consciousness, there's no more, as the Lord finishes that verse, there's no more sochati or kankshati, there's no more lamenting or desiring or some conflict, because we see that in the world in a most profound way these days. There's so much competition. Instead, the devotee of the Lord, he's equally disposed. There's no sense of competition. We see this practically in the world nowadays. People are so absorbed in becoming very powerful or famous or so-called independent. And they'll do anything to achieve that. And if somebody else has gotten to that point, they'll do their best to bring them down. It's unfortunate. But that is the case in the material world. Because of our enviousness of Krishna, his position as the supreme enjoyer, it manifests in us having to come into this material world and be in constant competition. But this is not a natural condition, as Prabhupada points out here, and as the Bhagavatam also states, anartha pasamo sakshat bhakti yogamad hokshaje. The miseries that the living entities are undergoing are actually superfluous. They're really not, they're external. They're not the nature of the soul. There is a process to come to that point, that position of mitigating the miseries of this material world. But unfortunately, as Shukadeva Goswami describes, the general mass of people don't know it. They don't know it. They're so absorbed in so many external things, they're not aware of what is their real source of their misery. It's just like if somebody has an ailment in the body and it manifests as a bump on the skin and it begins to ooze some fluid. Now we may think, let me blow on it, or let me put a little bit of ice on it, or let me put a little heating pad on it, and or let me even cut it and try to take out the poison. It doesn't solve the real problem. The problem is that there's an imperfection in the blood, and it manifests in the form of this boil. I'm sure all of us have some experience, or it manifests itself in some kind of form. So the point being that because of our lack of Krishna consciousness, or lack of knowledge, or because of our foolishness, or because of our delusional condition, this life that we're in has manifested. But it's actually not our real position. As Prabhupada points out here in the purport, it's not actually the rightful position of the living entity. When Srila Vyasadeva compiled the Vedic literatures, Srila Prabhupada comments, he saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead in fullness. And seeing the Personality of Godhead in full means all of His parts and parcels. Just like when you see a very important person in society, just to see him alone is not appreciating his full position. But when you see that person, comes off of a giant airplane, and he's surrounded by security, and he's greeted by so many adoring people, you can appreciate the position of that person. So Srila Vyasadeva, he saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead in His fullness, which meant also His energies, His parts and parcels. He saw, Srila Prabhupada makes this commentary on this verse in the Bhagavatam. It's very beautiful how he describes it. How he saw his different energies. Namely, he saw his internal energy, he saw his marginal energy, and he saw his external energy. And he saw how the marginal energy is subjected to the unwanted miseries, miseries by the external energy. He could see that. And then finally he saw what the remedial measure was. And that's when he compiled the Vedic literatures. For that reason we have these wonderful literatures, because they're describing what that remedial measure is. That remedial measure is bhakti yoga, devotional service. It's just like a doctor, again, who sees a particular person who's in a certain condition, and just by observing them, or by some simple diagnoses, they can understand, okay, well, this person's disease. We need to do like this or do like that. Take this medicine. Don't do this. Don't do that. There's a prescription given. So that prescription is given here in the form of the Vedic literatures. And that is the process of devotional service. But again, unfortunately, the general mass of people are unaware of it, because they're so infatuated and overcome by, not only infatuated by the material energy, but overcome by the modes of material nature, the miseries that are associated with those modes of nature. That devotional process, or that remedial measure, Srila Prabhupada comments, is there to revive our Krishna consciousness. That devotional process begins by hearing and chanting. But even that hearing chanting, it can be done in a mechanical way. Those mechanics are dependent ultimately on the mercy of the personality of Godhead. So someone may ask, well, why should I chant then? Right? If hearing and chanting is not sufficient in itself, then why don't I just wait for the mercy of the Lord? Srila Prabhupada comments that still the process of hearing and chanting is so powerful that it begins immediately to eliminate or address the unwanted miseries which are due to contact with this material world, even before the development of transcendental knowledge, which is very interesting. In other words, it's not enough just to know, to be intelligent. It's not enough just to be very qualified in mystic yoga or a performance of austerities and penance. These things are certainly useful, but ultimately it all comes down to getting the causeless mercy of the Lord. Ultimately, it's the causeless mercy of the Lord. As we were hearing very nicely yesterday, how that causeless mercy of the Lord is also manifested in the form of the person Bhagwat, the exalted devotees, the pure devotees of the Lord. This very nice verse that was written, spoken about by Judhakarma probably yesterday. So very nice how by association with the book Bhagwat or the person Bhagwat, one derives these same benefits. But that is the causeless mercy of the Lord. Ultimately, that has to be there. There's a very interesting point that Srila Prabhupada makes here, is that this sort of satisfaction that's experienced by the devotee of the Lord is not like the foolish satisfaction that is there by the inactive fool. The inactive fool is in the state of foolish ignorance, whereas the self-satisfied Atmanandi is transcendental to the material state of existence. There are so many persons in this world who may think that they're very happy or they're very qualified or very powerful, etc. But that's like a crazy person walking down the street. They're not in touch with reality. The reality is that we're stuck in a very miserable condition that is profoundly miserable. But due to some delusional condition, the effects of the modes of material nature, as Srila Prabhupada points out here in the purport, that due to his association, unadulterated, the soul's activity becomes adulterated in contact with matter. Purushak prakriti stohi bhunti prakriti janganan. Karanam guna sangha said sarasa joni janmasu. Karanam guna sangha said, due to his association with this material nature, the living entity he becomes deluded and as a result has to meet with so many difficulties in this material world. Sometimes being in the form of a human, or sometimes in the form of an animal or a worm. These are not very pleasant conditions. But due to his association with that material nature and being captivated, practically captivated since time immemorial, the Vedic literatures describe how the living being has traveled from universe to universe. Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavanji. The living entity has been traveling since time immemorial. We can't put a time on when we came into this condition. It's been so long. So for all practical purposes, we can say that it's been eternal. It's been so long. So because of this captivation, since time immemorial, the living being is thrown into this suffering condition. But Krishna consciousness means to rise above these modes, right? It means to rise above the miseries that are associated with this material energy, with those modes of nature. Rising above that and being situated in devotional service. Srila Prabhupada comments that as one becomes learned in association, it's very interesting, as one becomes learned in association with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, proportionately he relishes his eternal blissful life. So proportionate to the amount that we're associating with Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Krishna or devotional service, or for that matter, his pure representative, proportionate to how we associate to them, to that degree we experience eternal blissful life. And again, of course, this is very difficult to understand in the material sense, because generally our experience in this material world is that if you associate with someone too long, you get really tired of them, right? You can't stand them anymore, or you can't take the way they look or talk, or because of this envy. But that is not the case in transcendental consciousness, because that competition is not there. One is always seeing everything as part and parcel of the Personality of Godhead, and meant to be used in his service, for that matter. Therefore, the devotee, as Prabhupada points out here, is always in the mode of unalloyed goodness, or Shuddha Sattva, and is neither foolish or passionate. Because if one has these foolishness, tamas and rajas, there's no question of becoming a devotee. It's not possible. It doesn't work. One has to become elevated. Chibir gunamaya bhavar abhi sarvam idam jagat. One has to elevate oneself. So that elevation means to practice Krishna consciousness according to the regulative principles, according to the guidance of the pure devotees, and follow it in a very strict manner, and very attentively. As we've heard many, many times, just a little inattentiveness, and immediately something happens. Just like if you're shaving the face, if you're inattentive, even just a little teeny bit, there's a problem. So Krishna consciousness also means that one has to be very attentive in practicing, even the slightest and most seemingly innocuous ways. one has to be very careful in everything one does. Whether it be chanting or associating, or whether it's executing one's devotional service, or just even simple things, hygiene, how one dresses in the mode of goodness and not ignorant. So all these things are there within the devotee of the Lord. As Prabhupada points out here right at the end, he insinuates this verse, yasyasti bhakti bhagavatiya kinchana, that the devotees of the Lord, they automatically manifest all good qualities. All good qualities. A devotee is always qualified with all the good qualities of God. Quantitatively, such qualifications may be different, certainly, but qualitatively, both the Lord and his devotee are one and the same. How important it is to practice Krishna consciousness so that we can come to that point, to that level. And how important it is to practice Krishna consciousness so we can appreciate those who are at that level and associate with them properly. It's paramount. And this verse defines that. How to come to that fixed position, and that is by becoming established and in goodness, being elevating oneself from ignorance and passion, and thus becoming happy. And again, everyone is trying to become happy in this world, but they don't know how. They don't know what the solution, what the answer is. Therefore, they try to go off into space and try and do this thing and that thing. We can't find it here on planet Earth. Let's go to Mars. Let's go to this place and that place. Or let me try and develop some mystic powers so that I can go to these distant places. It's really not the answer. The answer is devotional service. The answer is practicing Krishna consciousness. And the answer is being given to us very nicely here by Srila Vyasadeva. And it's shown to us in a practical way by the activities of Srila Prabhupada and his purports. So we'll end there. Are there any questions or comments? Srila Prabhupada ki jai.